Now we're holding on page Ayin Tes in Rosh Hashanah, the middle of Os Chav Tes, about 7 or 8 lines from the bottom. I mean, Ayin Shemim Malchius. So we started learning yesterday about how we darshan about that we have the first three brachas of Shemoneh Esrei, Hovel Hashem Bnei Elim, Hovel Hashem Kavod Ba'oz, Hovel Hashem Kavod Shemoi, teaches us about the first three brachas of Shemoneh Esrei. Then we brought a pasuk that mentions about Rosh Hashanah, and from there we learn that you have to say a bracha of Kedushas Hayom, a bracha about the on the theme of the Yom Tov, and a bracha of Zichronos and a bracha of Shofros, and we had different ways that Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva darshan that pasuk. So now the Gemara continues, the Braisa continues, Minayin Shoim and Malchus. So now we've established from that pasuk that we learn that there's Zichronos and Shofros. We said because since it says Zichron Truah, so Zichron teaches us to say Zichronos, and Truah teaches us to say Shofros. What about Malchus? So Tanya, Rebbe, we learn in a Braisa that Rebbe says, the pasuk says, so it's going through in Parshas Emor, it lists the Yom Tovim during the year, it mentions the Yom Tov of Shavuos. Then after that, it interjects and talks and gives a pasuk about to be careful to give the matnas ani, to leave the matnas aniyim for the poor, the peah and leket and shikha and whatnot, and finishes off ani Hashem alekeichem. And then the next words are v'chodesh hashvi. The next words are that in the 7th month, on the first day, you have Rosh Hashanah. So putting those together, ani Hashem alekeichem v'chodesh hashvi zu malchus. The Rebbe says from that you see that you have v'chodesh hashvi on Rosh Hashanah. You have to mention the concept ani Hashem alekeichem, which is to say a bracha on the theme of malchus. The Gemara later on discusses the point that malchus doesn't necessarily mean a pasuk of malchus doesn't necessarily have to have the word melech in it. It can also be something that talks about that Hashem is the only one. For example, the pasuk Shema Yisrael, you have Machlokas Tanoim later on, whether it works as a pasuk of Malchus. The halacha is it does, and in fact, we do say it as the 10th pasuk of Malchus. So the same thing over here, Ani Hashem Alekeichem. Rabbi Yosef of Yehuda Oma, and it's sorry, Rabbi Yosef of Yehuda says you don't really need that. You don't need to learn from the pasuk about Matnas Aniyim. True Rosh Hashanah, you have a different pasuk, Harehu Oma. The pasuk says, when it talks about blowing the Chatzotzeris out on over Yom Simchastam of Mayadechem of Rosh Chodshechem, when you're blowing the Chatzotzeris. The pasuk says V'hoyu lachem lezikaron lifnei alekeichem. It should be a remembrance for you before Hashem. And then the pasuk finishes off Ani Hashem alekeichem. Now she'in tamud loy ma'ani Hashem alekeichem. That pasuk does not have to continue with the word Ani Hashem alekeichem. It could just say that you have to blow the Chatzotzeris, and there should be a remembrance for you before Hashem. So why does that pasuk finish off with the words Ani Hashem Alekeichem? Says Rabbi Yosef of Yehuda, Zeh bona av. This creates a binyan av l'chol mokem shenema b'zichronus. Whenever you have to say the bracha zichronus, you malchus imohen. You're always going to have malchus together with them. So therefore, on Rosh Hashanah and earlier in the perek, it also discusses how the same thing is also true in the previous perek. Actually, it talks about the same thing is true on Yom Kippur of Yovel. You also say the same three brachas in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei over there, and there also you have all three Malchus, Zichronus, and Shofros. Even though Malchus is more of a theme, much more on Rosh Hashanah, because that's when Hashem created Adam and Chava and became king of the world. Nevertheless, we learn from this that wherever there's Zichronus and Shofros, you have Malchus with them also. We're actually going to learn when we get to it in Masechta Tainis Bez Hashem. We're going to talk about that actually among the extra brachas that they said there on certain Tanesim for rain and for things like that is only Zichronus and Shofros. That doesn't contradict this because they were saying it more as a tchina, to beg Hashem to have Rachmanus on us and then to remember us in the schus of the Shofros that we're blowing. So it's not really quite the same thing over here when it's not so much that we're pleading with Hashem to do such and such, but rather that we're mentioning the theme of Rosh Hashanah and the theme of Yom Kippur is these three things, Malchus, Zichronus, and Shofros. The Heichan Omra. So now, where do you say the bracha of Malchus? L'kedushas Hayoyim. So you say it together with the bracha of Kedushas Hayoyim, meaning you have the first three brachas ending with Hamelech HaKadosh. Then you have the fourth bracha, which begins Ata B'chartanu. And in the middle of that bracha is where you stick in Malchus, and then you end off with the Melech HaKol Ha'aretz B'kadosh Yisro B'yom HaZikaron. Tanya, but then we learn in a braisa, Rebbe Oimer Malchus Oimra. Actually, the question is, where do we say Kedushas HaYom? Given that we established that according to both Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva, you have to say a bracha of Kedushas HaYom in Musaf of Rosh Hashanah, where exactly are you putting it in order that, where exactly are you slotting it in together with the extra three brachas that we have over here so that you wind up with nine brachas and not ten? Again, given that you have Ovis Vuris of Dushas Hashem, which is the first three, and at the end you have Avoid of Hodor, Birkas Koinim, which are the last three, you would say Modim and Sim Shalom, and in between you have Malchus, Sechronis, and Shovers. But if we're saying both Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva Daushin from the Posik, you need Kedushas Hayom, where are you putting that in? So Tanya, Rebbe Omer Imam Malchus Omra. Rebbe says, you say it together with Malchus. And the reason is in all other Shabbos and Yom Tov Shemana Esrei is when we say the bracha of Kedushas HaYom, it's always the fourth bracha. Therefore, here also it has to be the fourth bracha. So therefore, so it's going to be the fourth bracha, and it's going to be combined together with Malchus. On the other hand, Reb Shimon Gamliel, Reb Shimon Gamliel says that you say it together with Zichronis. So he holds that you would have the first three brachas ending with Hamelech HaKadosh, then you would have the bracha Atav HaKartonu and ending with Kaddish, then he would say, Reb Shimon Gamliel then would say, then you have the bracha Malchus, then you have the fifth bracha of Shemana Esrei would be a combination of Kedushas HaYom together with Zichronis. So he would say that you'd start with Atav HaKartonu and in the middle of it, you'd stick in Zichronis. And then you'd have shofars. The reason is because he says you always find that the bracha of Kedushas HaYom is always the middle bracha of Shemana Esrei. It has to be the middle bracha. Since normally you have seven brachas and the fourth is the middle, here you have nine brachas and therefore the middle one is going to be the fifth. So therefore you have to have it as the fifth bracha, says Reb Shimon Gamliel. Now you actually have, besides for these two opinions that we have in a braisa, besides for that, there was an opinion in the Mishnah of Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, who said that actually what you do is he said you combine together Malchus together with Kedushas Hashem, as we talked about yesterday, that he holds that you have combined Malchus in the bracha Ata Kodesh. We may have a vestige of it now in the fact that we have all the extra paragraphs in Ata Kodesh that speak of Hashem's Malchus, so that may be a vestige of Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri's opinion. But anyway, he says the order is as follows. He says you have the bracha Ata Kodesh with Malchus in the middle of it, and he says you don't blow shofar after that one. Then you have the bracha. Then you have the bracha Kedushas HaYom, the bracha Atav HaKartonu, ending Mekadosh Yisrael V'Yom HaZikaron, and you blow the shofar. Then after Zichronis, then after shofaris. And Rabbi Akiva in the Mishnah disagrees with him and says that no, there's no reason that Malchus should be any different than the other ones in that regard, especially since it has the same number of psukim. Each of them has 10 psukim. So therefore, Rabbi Akiva says, like what Rebbe said over here in the Braisa, that you combine Malchus together with Kedushas HaYom. So now the Gemara tells, we learned yesterday that the Sanhedrin went into Golos in various places, and twice we said the Sanhedrin was located in the city of Usha, in the north of Eretz Yisrael. Both times they moved there after having to move away from Yavin. So when they were Makadish the year in Usha, when Beis Din was Makadish that Chodesh, and they were celebrating Rosh Hashanah in Usha, Yorod Rab Yechon Ben Breuka, Lifnei Rab Shimon Gamliel, Rab Yechon Ben Breuka went and davened by the Amud. Yorod, he went down, because as we've learned before, the Chazan is supposed to stand lower. So he went down in Rab Shimon Gamliel's shul, but also Rab Yechon Ben Nuri. And he followed Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri's opinion in the Mishnah, which is that he combined Malchus together with Atta Kodesh and did not blow shofar after it. Omelo Rabbi Shimon. So afterwards, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel tells him, Loi hayu noigin kein biyavne. You should know this is not the way we used to do when the Sanhedrin was headquartered in Yavne. It comes out that when Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri and Rabbi Akiva are talking about the different possibilities of how to do it, it's not just a matter of that they have different theoretical ideas of how to do it. There were actually different minhogim in different places. So the idea may have been that in Usha, in the north of Eretz Yisrael, Taka, that was their local minig to do like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, and that's why Rabbi Yochanan ben Breka followed it. However, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel tells him, listen, you know, it's true, as long as it was the people who are living over here, they can keep their minhag, but now that the Sanhedrin is headquartered over here, really we should start following the minhag that came from Yavne, as the Sanhedrin did it over there, and we should continue following that over here. Al derech, like you have many times in Jewish history, when a whole kehillah of Jews moves to a new place, There's always the question, should they continue following their old menhagim, even though they clash with the menhagim of the new place, or should they adapt to the menhagim in the new place, or the other way around, should the people of the new place adapt to their menhagim? You've had different times in Jewish history, all three, any of those three have happened. So here, Reb Shimon Gamliel is saying, basically, the minhag here in the Galil may be like what you did, but nevertheless, since we in Yavne, the Sanhedrin, didn't do it like that, then you shouldn't do that either. Then the Braisa continues, L'yemasheni yorod Reb Chanina b'noshe Reb Yosi Aglili, the second day of Rosh Hashanah. The Gemara is going to soon explain if that actually means the second day. But anyway, Reb Chanina, the son of Reb Yosi Aglili, davened by the Omud, v'osek Reb Akiva, and he followed Reb Akiva in the Mishnah and put together Malchus with Kedusha Sayyoyim, as we do it. Omud Reb Shimon Gamliel, so Reb Shimon Gamliel says, good, achoyu noigin b'yavna, that's the right way to do it. This is the way we did it in Yavna. But the Gemara asks the member of the Reb Shimon Gamliel, Reb Akiva Svirolei. You're telling me then that Reb Shimon Gamliel holds like Reb Akiva that this is the right way to do. But Amar Reb Akiva Malchus and Kedushas Ayoyim, Amar Lahu, didn't the Mishnah in the Mishnah, Reb Akiva says that Malchus is combined with Kedushas Ayoyim, and Reb Shimon Gamliel and Kedushas Ayoyim as Zichronis. Whereas Reb Shimon Gamliel holds that you put Kedushas Ayoyim together with Zichronis, because we said he says you have Malchus, only then you have a combined bracha of Kedushas Hayyoyim and Zichronis. So then it comes out that Rab Chanina is not doing like Rab Shimon Gamliel's opinion either. Omer Rab Zeira said, Rab Zeira says, you're right, it's not exactly like Rab Shimon Gamliel's opinion, but Loi Moshe Toikin L'Malchus. All Rab Shimon Gamliel meant is that unlike Rab Yochan Manuri in the Mishnah, where according to him, you wouldn't blow Shofar after Malchus, only after Kedushas Hayyoyim, Zichronis and Shofaris, Rab Shimon Gamliel says, no, the proper way is that you blow Shofar after Malchus as well. The fact that you're putting Malchus together with Kedushas Hayyoyim, fine, on that particular detail, I disagree, and I would say that we should put Kedushas Hayyoyim together with Zichronis, but at least that we have, that there was Shofar blowing after each of the three special brachas, that he says that's the right way to do things. Maharsha points out both that Malchus refers to Hashem's Achdus. In fact, again, the 10th pasuk of it is Shema Yisrael. So you have the opinion that says that you put that together with Kedushas Hashem is the idea, Rabbi Yochanan Manuri's opinion is that you want to combine together. You're talking in that bracha about the greatness of Hashem, Ata Kodesh, Rishim HaKodesh. Therefore, it's appropriate to put Malchus in there also. Whereas if you say you put it in Kedushas Hayyoyim, this is the one day of the year, the one day on which Hashem created humanity, so therefore that's more appropriate. So according to Reb Akiva, that's the time, that's the bracha in which it's appropriate to talk about the Malchus of Hashem. So the Gemara asks, now we said in the Braisa, Lo Yemasheni Yorad Reb Chanina. We said on the second day, Reb Chanina davened by the Amud and did like Reb Akiva. The question is, my sheni. What do we mean by the second? He laid me yom tov sheni. Do we mean the second day of Rosh Hashanah? Now, in most places, they would have to keep a second day of Rosh Hashanah because they wouldn't know when Beis Din was Mekadesh and Chodesh. Unlike with the other yom tovim, which come out in the middle of the month, and there might be time for the shluchim to get there in time and inform them when Beis Din had declared Rosh Chodesh, Rosh Hashanah, you couldn't do that. So necessarily, any place that's more than a tchum Shabbos away from Beis Din is going to have to keep 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. But here we're talking about in Usha, where the Sanhedrin itself was located. So why are they keeping? So the only way they would have to keep 2 days Rosh Hashanah is if Elul that year was 30 days. Namely, you would have then. So in other words, they're sitting on the 30th, waiting for Edom to come. Edom don't end up coming because the moon wasn't visible last night, whether because it's too close to the Molad or whether because it was cloudy or what have you. And therefore, the rule is Noyagin Oisai Yom Kodesh Lamacha Kodesh. Therefore, they keep that day as Rosh Hashanah and also the next day as Rosh Hashanah. The question is, Lememra Dabru Ala Elul, would that mean, therefore, that they made an Elul Ma'uba, that they made a 30-day Elul? The problem with that is, V'amr Abchanin Abakahana, Mi Mois Ezra Ba'elach Lemetsinu Elul Ma'uba. From the time of Ezra and onward, until Rab Chanin Abakahana's own time, and he's one of the Amiroim, we never find an Elul that was 30 days. We find in Sefer Ezra, we find in the Nehemiah portion of Ezra, we find described over there when they celebrated Rosh Hashanah and they lain from the Torah, and then it says V'yom HaChodesh HaSheni, on the second day, they gathered together again for a public Torah reading and told everybody about the mitzvahs of Sukkot that are coming up. So there we have an example in history of an Elul Ma'uber, but Rab Chanina Bar Kahana is saying we never find after that, Beis Din always made an effort to make it that Elul would always be 29 days. And that way, at least, in particular, that was relevant as far as Yom Kippur. That way, people in the outlying areas are not going to have to keep 2 days because of Sfeika D'Yoma of Yom Kippur. So what are you telling me now? Now, if you're telling me that in this Braisa, in Reb Shimon Gamliel's times, who was before Reb Chanina Bar Kahana, they had a 30-day Elul, and that's how they had 2 days in Rosh Hashanah, then that contradicts what he's saying. And the answer is Amar Rav Chista, my sheni l'yem sheni l'shana haba. The sheni over here in the Braisa means the next Rosh Hashanah, the following year. So each time there was only 1 day Rosh Hashanah, 1 year Rabbi Yochanan Baruch davened by the Amud. The next year, it was Rabbi Chanina, the son of Rabbi Yosef Lili, who davened by the Amud on the 1 day Rosh Hashanah that they had. Agav, by the way, I mean, so after the Loa HaKavua was set up, we have 2 days Rosh Hashanah everywhere, and they, again, because of the not so much because of Sfeika de Yoma, but because of the possibility that Elul would be 30 days, and therefore they have to keep 2 days Rosh Hashanah. However, it's interesting if you look in the piyutim that we say on Rosh Hashanah in Musaf. We have many of the piyutim we say on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur come from the famous Paitan Rabbi Lazar HaKalir. Now, if you look on the first day Rosh Hashanah, we have quite a few of them. We have in Musaf on the first day Rosh Hashanah, we have one beginning Upad Me'oz. We have a couple more, and then eventually we get to Kedusha. On the second day, we have next to nothing. We have Lekel Orech Din, and that's pretty much about it until we get to, except for Nisana Token. Why is that? Because Rabbi Lazar HaKalir did not compose piyutim for the second day Rosh Hashanah. Now, why not? So Tosfos actually points out someplace that shows that they identified Rabbi Lazar HaKalir with Rabbi Lazar, the son of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, or Yeshayim among Rishonim, who identify him with Rabbi Lazar Ben Aruch. Either way, they were Tanoim, and in their time, in fact, as long as they're in the place where Beis Din is, there is only 1 day Rosh Hashanah, and therefore he had no need to compose piyutim for the second day.
Why are you doing it bottom line for 2 days?
So the bottom line why we do it for 2 days is because you have the consideration that Elul could, after all, be Ma'uber. It's true, Rabbi Chanina Bar Kahana is telling us they made efforts not to do that, and for hundreds of years, they kept it that way. Actually, in the first paragraph, the Gemara mentions that later on, there were, after Rabbi Chanina Bar Kahana's times, there was one time in Rava's times, there was one time in Rabbi Nachman's times, where it ended up that they had that Elul became 30 days and they weren't able to prevent it. Like this, Beis Din would have to prepare in advance to make sure to declare Rosh Chodesh on the appropriate days during the months before that, in order to make sure that it'll work out, and also to make sure, when possible, that Rosh Hashanah wouldn't fall out on the days of the week that you don't want it to. Lo yadu Rosh. So later on, as times got more difficult in Eretz Yisrael, that broke down, and they weren't always able to manage that. So because of that, then because you have also the Mishnah mentions in our Perek, there was a time in the time of the Beis Mikdash when they made a takana that. They don't. That if the Edom come after Mincha, we don't listen to them. We tell them to come back tomorrow. So all told, with all of that, then so even where there is a Beis Din, sometimes they would have to keep 2 days Rosh Hashanah based on those considerations. If Elul ended up being Ma'uber, or if the Edom didn't come in time, and therefore based on that, we make 2 days Rosh Hashanah everywhere. And because of that, we have Lahalacha. They're considered Yom Ha'arichta. They're considered as if it was one long day because you have the whole. It's not so much with the other Yom Tovim. You keep 2 days because Sveika de Yom. Here it's not so much Sveika de Yoma, it's more of a Vadai that when Elul was 30 days, you're going to have 2 days Rosh Hashanah, because you can't say that only the first day is, because it's technically the 30th of Elul, therefore you really have to have a second day, which would be the actual Yom Tov Daraisa.
If Elul wouldn't be Ma'uber and also the Eidim would come,
then you would have only 1 day Rosh Hashanah. Then you're
in Eretz Yisrael, and also
no. So then, only in the place where the Beis Din is located. Any place, well, wherever in Eretz Yisrael, whatever city. Chutzlaretz, you'd have to have 2 days of necessity, anyhow. But not just Chutzlaretz. That's my point. Any place more than a Tchum Shabbos away from the Beis Din. Say, for example, in the times when the Sanhedrin sat in the Lushkas HaGozes. So if you're in the city of Yerushalayim, you know that they were Mekadosh the Chodesh today. But if you live in Hebron, or if you live in Lud, or if you live in Tzfas, or Tveria, or Eilat, or whatever, you're not going to know, because there's no way for the news to get to you on Yom Tov. People can't travel on Yom Tov. So yeah,
Mashiach will come one day Rosh Hashanah.
When Mashiach will come, it's a good question, really. I mean, based on this takana, maybe the Gemara discusses actually at the beginning of Beitza whether that takana is meant to be for all time, or whether maybe a later Beis Din can override it if necessary. So first of all, we'd have to figure out that whether a later Beis Din does in fact have was given the authority to override that takana. But aside from that also, I mean, you could say that maybe when Mashiach comes now with modern communications, maybe there's a way of informing everybody with right away anyhow, because, yeah.
What are you doing
on
the second day of Yom Kippur?
That's a different Yom Tov. That's not necessarily Rosh Hashanah. Other Yom Tovim, for sure, there's only going to be one when Mashiach comes. I don't know. You tell me. You're the one telling me the story. But I'm saying on Rosh Hashanah, there's less of a reason to think that that will be changed. Loss of love. So you were talking about Rosh Hashanah specifically. Yeah, so it was a circus, and that's a regular Sfeika Diyar. The Alter Rebbe has a long discussion of the whole thing. If you look in Simon Tov Reish in the Alter Rebbe's Shulchan Aruch, he has a long discussion of how it is. Why are they considered one day? Is because this whole thing about the 30th day sometimes would be the actual day Rosh Hashanah. It would be declared on the first of Tishrei, and sometimes if the Edom didn't come in time, then it would remain the 30th of Elul, and they would have to have 2 days, etc. But all doesn't mean means in other words they won't be as important in the face of Purim. But besides, there are different periods within Yemos Mashiach. Okay, the Mishnah says Ein Pochsin Ma'asora Malchius. You don't say less than 10 psukim from Malchius, Ma'asora Zichronus, Ma'asora Shofres, and not less than 10 psukim for Zichronus and for Shofres. You can have more, and in our machzorim, we have, for some of them, we do have more than 10, but the minimum is 10. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri Omer, im oma sholosh mikolon yotza, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri says that b'dievet, if you only said 3 of each one, then you're yotza. The Gemara actually discusses the question, does that mean that he says you have to have a minimum of 3 from Torah, 3 from Nevi'im, 3 from Ksuvim, in which case the only argument is the Tanakhama is saying you need 10, you need one extra one from Chumash, and Rabbi Yochanan Nuri is saying you don't, or does he mean it's enough to have one from each? The Gemara ends up saying it means that he says it's enough to have one of each. There are even Rishonim, by the way. Rashi mentions at the very end of the Masechta, Rashi brings from his Rebbeim an explanation which he doesn't have of a piece of Gemara over there. He doesn't like this explanation, but Tosfos defends it that actually, if a person says, if a person says it says in your Torah, but it doesn't actually say the Psukim, that would be enough, and he would be Yotza without saying any Psukim at all. Rashi says, wait a minute, we're saying over here you need at least 10 or at least 3 appointed of Yechim and Nuri. How do you get that you need 0? And Tosfos says, because maybe it means if you start saying Psukim, then you have to say at least 3 appointed of Yechim and Nuri or at least 10 appointed of the Tanakhama, but you can get away without saying any at all. Okay. So the Gemara says, Hani Asora Malchius Keneged Me. Why do we have specifically 10 psukim of Malchius and the other ones as well? Omer Ablevi Keneged Asora Hilulim Shom David B'Sefer Tilim. It corresponds to the 10 praises of Hashem that David says 10 times. It says Hilul Hallelujah that it says in Sefer Tilim. You asked Hilulim Tuvah, but you have a lot more than 10. Wait, so the answer is Hanach Tichtibu Hallelujah B'Sefer Hashofar. Yeah, the ones that are in Kapitel Kuf Nun, where you have in the middle of there Hallelujah B'Sefer Hashofar. So all together, now you're not counting the one at the beginning. You're not counting Hallelujah, when it starts out, Hallelujah, Hallelujah, B'Kodesh, Hallelujah, B'Kiruzah. You don't count that Hallelujah at the beginning, and you don't count the one at the end. Kolam Shama Hallelujah, you don't count that one either. But other than that, yes, you have 10. In fact, for that reason, since the Gemara is saying, from there we learn that's one source of why we have 10, is Taka Y, in Shofaris, we say that entire capital. Like this, in Shofaris, we have to say 3 psukim from Ksuvim, but we have a lot more besides, we have several psukim from Ksuvim that mention Shofar, but then in addition, we say this entire capital in the middle of the Baruch over there, that's why. Hallelujah, Kael B'Kodshay, Hallelujah, B'Kiyozay, Hallelujah, B'Gvarayse, Hallelujah, Karev Gudlay, Hallelujah, B'Sei Kashayfer, Hallelujah, B'Neva B'Chiner, Hallelujah, B'Sei Famachal, Hallelujah, B'Minim B'Ogav, Hallelujah, B'Tziltzay Shama, Hallelujah, B'Tziltzay Sura. That's 10. You're not counting the first Hallelujah, and you're not counting the first Hallelujah, and you're not counting the last, you're not counting the Kol HaNeshama Tehalo Kol Hallelujah. You're not counting the beginning and the end. Yeah. Okay. You don't count the word Hallelujah at the beginning. Rabbi Yosef Omar Keneged Aseres Adibris Shenemer Lo Lamosha Besina. Rabbi Yosef says it corresponds to the Aseres Adibris, is why you have to have 10 psukim. Rabbi Yochanan Omar Keneged Asorim Amoris Shebehen Nivra Olam. Rabbi Yochanan says it's corresponding to the 10 statements with which Hashem created the world. So the Gemara asked, "My Ninu." So what do you mean? How are there 10? Ilema de Vayomer de Bereshis. Do we mean the various times when it says Vayomer, Vayomer Elokim Yehi Or, Vayomer Elokim Yehi Rokiyah Vaseh Hamoyim, etc.? Hani Tes Havu. If you count them up, you only have 9. The answer is Bereshis Nami Maimu. The answer is Bereshis itself counts as a mimer as well. The pasuk says the heavens was created with the word of Hashem. So since the pasuk begins Bereshis Bara Elokim as Hashemayim Vesaretz, so we understand that Bereshis itself constitutes a statement of Hashem to create the Shemayim Vesaretz. Now, Taka, why doesn't it say Vayomer on it? So Marsha explains over here that you have like this: everything was created Yesh Me'ayin. But really what it is on the first day Hashem created the yesh in the first place. And then the rest of the days Hashem took that initial yesh, the Rishonim call it Chomer Hiyuli, a potential koyach, and made it into the various Nivroi. So like this, if it said Vayomer by the first one as well, then a person could think that there was a yesh there always, that it's all yesh. Hiyuli, it comes from a Greek word that means something like unformed or potential.
Potential
matter, like. So the Rishonim use it often in their Sfarim of philosophy and in their Pirushim on Chumash and other places. They use it to mean like in Chassidus, it uses it in some places as well. Yeah. Ultimately it means like you have a potential matter that has not yet been shaped into anything, basically. So if it said by Yomer at the beginning, Marsha explains, then you would mistakenly think that there always was a yesh, that Hashem is just creating everything, yesh mi yesh. You wouldn't realize there's a yesh mi ayin. Therefore, it starts bereshis to stress the idea there is an initial yesh mi ayin, there's an initial bria yesh mi ayin. In fact, Mefarshim explained that the word bara itself that Rambam explains, among others, that the word bara specifically refers to creating yesh mi ayin, to create things, yesh mi yesh, for that you have other words. Anyway, so that's why it doesn't say Vayomer at the beginning. In various places in Chassidus, it talks about the idea also that each of the Asara Ma'amoris corresponds to one of the 10 Sfiras. So Bereshis corresponds to Sfiras HaChochma. In fact, Targum Yonason on the Pasuk there, when it starts Bereshis Bara Elokim, it translates the word Bereshis as B'chochmasa Bara Hashem. Now Hashem created B'chochma. And Chokhmah, everything is in potential within Chokhmah. So therefore, in the same way, Bereshis itself is the mimer from which all the other ones unfold. So therefore, it's not written in the form Vayomer like all the other ones. It's written in a different form, Bereshis Bara Elokim, because all of them are Nishtal Shulchan. Koyach Ma'ayah. Anaf Yosef has an interesting explanation over here. When the Gemara started off with the question, why are there 10 Malchias, and we're given these various answers that it corresponds to the 10 Hilulim, or the Aseres Hadibris, or the Asara Ma'amoris, why didn't the Gemara to begin with ask on Zichronis and Shofris as well? When it comes to Malchus, sure, then primarily the reason is because the Asara Ma'amoris Shebehem Nivra Olam, because Hashem became king over the world by creating it. So therefore, yeah, that would be the reason. So then Zichronus is primarily to remember Maimon Har Sinai, so therefore that connects more with the Aseres Hadibros, and the Shofris corresponds more to the 10 Havalukas. So when it's asking the 10 Malchus corresponds to what? So the primary answer is going to be connected to the Asara Ma'amoris. Just first, the Gemara brought the other answers as well that are relevant to Zichronus and Trophus. Next, Tanya, we learn in a Braisa. Ein Pochsin Ma'asara Malchias Ma'asara Zichronus Ma'asara Trophus. So again, you're not supposed to have less than 10 of each of them. The Im Oma Sheva Mikolam Yotza. But if you said 7 of each one, then B'dievid Yu Yotza, because 7 is connected to Shiva Rakiim. Then the 7 corresponds to the 7 corresponds to the 7 heavens. So Marsha explains. In other words, the idea is because you have Hashem is so to speak roichev ba'arabos. Hashem rules over. Hashem dominates over the 7 heavens and sits there on Rosh Hashanah and judges the world. So therefore, b'di'evad 7 are good enough to represent that. Rabbi Yechon Manuri Omer Apoiches La Yifches Misheva. Rabbi Yechon Manuri says you Tanakama are saying 7 is the absolute minimum. No, 7 is L'chatchila what you shouldn't do. L'chatchila you should say at least 7. V'im Omer Sholosh Mikolan Yotza. But if you said 3 of each, meaning 1 from Chumash, 1 from Toda, 1 from Nevi'im, 1 from Ksuvim, Yotza, then you Yotza Keneged Toda Nevi'im Ksuvim, corresponding to those 3 parts of Tanakh. V'amila Keneged Konim Levi'im Yisraelim. And Omer of Hunam Shmuel Halacha Rabbi Yechon Ben Nuri. So the halacha is like Rabbi Yechon Ben Nuri. You can b'di'evad be yotze with 1 pasuk of each. L'chatchila, you should say 10 psukim, which is how we do it. Tosfos, by the way, points out an interesting point in that regard. Here, the order you would think is Torah, Nevi'im, Ksuvim. But the ones that we say, when we say it in Rosh Hashanah, we say first from Torah, then from Ksuvim, then from Nevi'im. Why do we put Nevi'im last? Tosfos explains because parts of Ksuvim were written before Nevi'im. When you get down to it, the earlier Ksuvim spans a long period. The earliest Sefer, you have Iyov, was written by Moshe Rabbeinu, and then the last books of Ksuvim were written at the beginning of the second Beis Mikdash. Meanwhile, many of the Nevi'im lived after various Ksuvim, and in fact, in particular, even though from the Gemara, from the next piece of Gemara is going to be mashma that you can use Psukim from anywhere in Ksuvim, from Malchus, Sechronus, and Shofaros, in practice, all the ones that we use in Musaf all come from Tilim, and Tilim comes before most of the Nevi'im. So therefore, that's why we put Ksuvim before Nevi'im in Musaf. So the Mishnah says, "Ein maskirat zichron malchus v'shofar shel peronis." You're not allowed to use psukim of malchus, zichronis, or shofar. It's listed out of order over here, but anyway, of peronis. And the Gemara is going to give examples of psukim in each one, which refer to bad times or disasters for the Jewish people. You're not allowed to use such psukim. Mascho b'Torah mashlim b'Navi. You start with psukim from Torah, and you finish off with psukim with a pasuk from Navi. Rabbi Yosi Yomim hishlam b'Torah yotza, and Rabbi Yosi says b'di'evit. If you finish with a pasuk from Torah from Chumash, then you're yotza. The Gemara actually flips that around and says that actually the Mishnah should really say the other way around. L'chatchila, you should finish with a pasuk of Torah. B'di'evit, if you finish with a pasuk of Nevi'im, then you're yotza. And that's how we do in each of the three brachas. The last pasuk that we quote is a pasuk from Torah. Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad in Malchus. You have at the end of Malchus, after we've gone through the nine psukim, we finish off with Saras Chokos of Leimer. Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, and then we have the end paragraph over there. Elokeinu Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Elokeinu. In Zichronus, we finish off in the middle of the paragraph over there. We have which is a pasuk from Chumash, and in Shofaris you have and then we'll be able to fulfill there Yom Simchas from Mayadechem, Uskatim Bachatzotzus, which refers to blowing a tkiyah. So even though in context it's talking about Chatzotzus, nevertheless it counts as a pasuk about Shofaris. So the Gemara says, so here's some examples of each one. Malchus, what would be an example of a posik of Malchus? That's a posik of Peronus, which therefore you can't use. So Kigoin, you have a posik in Yechezkel. You have people have come to Yechezkel and argued that maybe we shouldn't have to keep mitzvahs anymore. The Gemara in Sanhedrin tells us the background, that there were people who came to Yechezkel and said, listen, you know, if a Kohen had an Eved Knani and then he sold him, then the Eved Knani can't eat truma anymore and he has no shaychus to his owner anymore. And if a husband divorces his wife, he has no shaychus to her anymore. The same way Hashem seems to have sold us to the Goyim and divorced us, and maybe therefore we have no further relationship with Hashem and we don't have to keep mitzvahs. It's even brought to the Medrash that it was Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah were among the ones who came to Yechezkel with this. And Yechezkel answers them with a long nevuah, where we have part of it. Part of it is going to be the Aftara Parshas Kedoshim in a few weeks, Bez Hashem. So he says, this pasuk that we're quoting is not part of the Aftara, but it's all part of the same nevuah. He says, Chai oni nu'um Hashem alekim, as I live, Hashem says, I swear by my life, says Hashem alekim, imloy, that if it will not be, meaning it will certainly be, the yod chazaka, with a strong hand, or vizroya naturya, and with an outstretched arm, or v'chema shpucha, and with fury poured out, emloy chaleichem, I will rule over you. Meaning, in other words, Hashem is saying, doesn't matter whether you agree or not, I'm going to be your king and I'm going to be Hashem, whether you like it or not, you're going to be still obligated to keep mitzvahs. So even though it says emloich, you can't use such a pasuk because the pasuk of Peronis. Now, in a way, it's not such a... So the Gemara says, v'apa gavda omer Rav Nachman. Now, Rav Nachman comments on this in the Gemara in Sanhedrin, after it brings that context when Yechezkel said this. Rav Nachman says, kol yihai rischa luta hakadosh baruch hu alon v'lifrikinon. Fine, let Hashem exhibit that anger against us, abi he takes us out of Golos, because that's the psukim go on to say, that Hashem is saying, I will rule over you, and I'll take you out of Golos, and I'll bring you to Midbar Amim, and I'll refine you over there, and you'll come to Eretz Yisrael. So Rav Nachman is saying, yes, there is a positive thing in it. Nevertheless, kiven de beris ha'omer, but the pasuk is being said in a sense of anger. Ad kuri ris ha'bereish shatol boimad karinen. We don't want to mention anything involving Hashem's anger on Rosh Hashanah. Next, Zikaron, what would be an example of a posik of Zichronis that we can't use? Kigoin, you have a posik in Tehillim. Vayizkor ki boser heim b'goimer. After talking about how the Jewish people were doing all kinds of things wrong in the Midbar, Hashem remembered that they're only flesh, ruach holach v'le yoshuv. So again, it's a negative thing that Hashem is saying that the Jewish people are deserving of punishment and they're going to die in the Midbar over there. So again, you don't want to use such a posik on Rosh Hashanah. Shofar would be to go and tickle shofar by giver, b'gomer. The Navi tells the Jewish people, blow a shofar in giver. They used to use a shofar then as an alarm. So sound the alarm there with a shofar in the city of giver because the enemies are preparing to attack. So therefore, so that's a shofar, but it has to do with Peronus, with difficult times for the Jewish people. Avol, but the Braisa continues, or the Gemara continues rather, you want to say Malchus, Zichronus, and Shofar's Psukim that refer to punishment of Goyim, that you can do. Kagoin, Hashem Moloch Yugazu Amim. For example, you could use the Pasuk, Hashem has reigned, the nations will tremble. That's a, you could use that. Lamai said we don't, but you could use that as a valid Pasuk of Malchus. Or Kagoin, Hashem Melech Olam Vod Ogu Goyim Me'artzoi. Or you could use the Pasuk, Hashem is king forever. The nations have disappeared from his land, meaning the seven nations that were conquered and removed from Eretz Yisrael. Zikorin to gun zchur Hashem levnei Edom begoyim. You can use the pasuk where we ask Hashem to remember about bnei Edom what they did at the time of the korban. You're allowed to use that pasuk. Shofar to goin, and this one we do use. Vashem lekim bashofar yiska. The pasuk says Hashem will blow the shofar v'holach besaris teman and go with stormy south winds to fight against the goyim uchtiv. And the pasuk continues. Hashem tzvakas yogin aleihem. Hashem will protect the Jewish people. The context of that pasuk, very interesting. This is the Nabi Zechariah talking at the beginning of the second Beis Mikdash. He's referring to events 200 years later, the story of the Nes Chanukah. He's saying a previous pasuk, he mentions he says, the children of Tzion, the Jewish people, will be aroused to fight against the children of Yavon and defeat them, and Hashem will help them. And Hashem will fight on their behalf. So therefore, so you're allowed to say such a pasuk, and we do. That pasuk we taka mentioned. Why taka do we continue with Hashem Tzvakas Yogin Aleihem, which is actually the beginning of the next pasuk? The reason is because the other examples that the Gemara brought, you have right there in the same pasuk, you have the Peronus of the Goyim, and you have how it helps the Jewish people. But here you don't have Hashem when it says Bashofar Yiska V'Holach Besaris Teman, you can see that it means he's fighting against the Goyim. It's not so clear that it means that the Jewish people are going to be saved as a result of that. When you have the next pasuk Hashem Tzvakas Yogin Aleihem, then that makes it clear that it's on behalf of that it's going to save the Jewish people and punish the Goyim. So therefore we add those extra words and then we finish off that it shouldn't just be a one time thing. Kein Togan Alam Chisyo B'Shlemecha, as we say in the Nesach. Next, the Gemara continues. Emas kiren zikoron shol yochid va'afilu l'toiva. You're not allowed to say in Zichronus a posik that mentions that where Hashem remembered a yochid, even when it's for good. Kegoin, for example, a posik in Tehillim, Zichroni Hashem b'tzoyin amecha. David asks, remember me Hashem with the favor of your people. So he's asking for a personal remembrance on Rosh Hashanah. We're davening on behalf of all of us Jewish people collectively. Or for example, you have Nehemiah says on himself a couple of times in his Sefer, Hashem, remember me for good, all of the good things that I accomplished for the Jewish people. So you can't use such psukim. Continues the Braisa, Pikdonus Harein Kezichronus. Psukim that mention that Hashem pokad is the equivalent of Zichronus, and therefore you could use such psukim. To go in by Hashem pokad as Sarah, for example, you could say the pasuk that Hashem remembered Sarah and she became pregnant. The Gemara is going to ask soon, wait a minute, didn't we say not a yochid? We'll get back to that point in a minute. Or for example, you could use the pasuk that Moshe comes, that Hashem tells Moshe to tell the Jewish people that I've remembered you and I'm taking you out of Mitzrayim. Divir Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yehuda ima in kezichronus, Rabbi Yehuda says that they are not. Not so much, Marashar explains, it's not so much that Rabbi Yehuda demands that you have the actual word zikorin in the pasuk. It's really more that there's a difference, there's a nuance of difference between them. But pokad, Marashar explains, refers to something that happens at a certain time. You have Hashem has designated a certain time for something to happen, and he makes it happen at that time, like Sarah becoming pregnant or the Jewish people coming out of Mitzrayim. Whereas Zohar implies there's no particular time for it. It's always in Hashem's mind, so to speak. It's always on Hashem's mind. That's what we want to focus on Rosh Hashanah. On Zichronis, says Rabbi Yossi, not on Pikdonis. Sheyala Zichronis, Seinu L'Toyva, that Hashem should remember us for good, not just as a one-time thing, but as an ongoing thing. And therefore, Rabbi Yehuda is saying, you can't use Pakod. So the Gemara asks the Lord of Yossi, okay, well, according to Rabbi Yossi, who says you could use such a psukim, why is he mentioning Rashem Pakod Asara? Okay, fine. He's saying that Pikdonis are the equivalent of Zechroinus. But isn't the pasuk about Sara about an individual? And we just said before, you can't use such a psukim. The answer is given to also Rabbimina, because the Rabbim, the whole Jewish people, descend from her, especially that part, not just that they descend from her, but that particular Pekidah was Yitzchok was born, from whom the entire Jewish people descend. Kerabim Damia, therefore, that's considered like the Rabbim, and therefore, that's a valid pasuk to use. For the same reason, in Zechronis, we use the pasuk about Noach, by Yizkor Elokim as Noach, same idea, because we all descend from Noach, so therefore, that's valid. That's also true, but Rosh Hashanah Nifka the Sarah Rocha Vachana. Nevertheless, we're saying that the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda. We can't use such psukim because it doesn't say Zikoran in them yet. But it said Vashem Zohar as Sarah, then it would be fine to say. But since it says Vashem Pokad, and as Marisha pointed out, you do have that nuance of difference, then you can't use it. But yes, there is the idea that Rosh Hashanah Nifka the Sarah Rocha Vachana. There is actually, but since you're mentioning it, though, it is true, there is actually an interesting explanation from Rabbi Yitzchak, the Rebbe's father, that connects together, actually, the Teva, Vayizkor Elokim as Noach, with Sora Rochel B'chana. For one thing, he points out that the dimensions of the Teva were 300 by 50 by 30 amos. If you look at the names of the three women who were Nifkan on that day, each of those women, their name shares two letters with the other ones and has one letter that's unique to her. Sarah has, she shares a resh with Rachel and a hey with Hannah, but the sin stands by itself. The same way with Hannah, you have the nun is unique to her name. With Rachel, you have the lamed is unique to her name. Therefore, you have those same three letters, shin, lamed, and nun, which are the dimensions of the teva. So there is actually a deeper connection between the remembrance of Noach and everybody in the teva with the three women who were nifgad on Rosh Hashanah. Yeah. So that's the Krias of those days. We'll talk about all three of them. Yes, Sarah on the first day. Rachel was in after the second day. Rachel Mavaka al Baneha. And Hannah in after the first day. So we'll continue. We'll continue with that next time. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Okay. So we'll pick up at the beginning of next week. That's Hashem. Okay. Yom Yom Mashiach Gola Dalad Nissen. So actually today is Gimel Nissen rather. Lately, this is the Rebbe was saying, the Sicha told us Tavshin Nun Beis, so the end of 1991. So lately, the Rebbe said, they're all over the world, in Russia and China and in India, there are all kinds of tremendous revolutions for the good. Revolution, and those affect most of the world, because we're talking about between all of those governments run most things in the world. And these revolutions are taking place. You had, for example, the breakup of the Soviet Union was happening at that time. China was starting to liberalize at that time. India was so all these things are happening b'sheket of a menucha. They're happening very peacefully and quietly, without wars and without shvichas damim, and you never find anything like that in history. So these kinds of revolutions and changes are among the Simoni Gola. You have the Medrash says if you see that nations are provoking and getting struggling against one another, you can expect that Mashiach is going to be coming soon. Now, Malchus Misgaris means that there are revolutions like that. But now we can have that. Misgaris doesn't have to be involving wars. It can be in a peaceful and tranquil way. So therefore, we see how the world is becoming more misbatter and is becoming more ready for Yemos Mashiach. Continuing with Halachas of Shabbos, you're not allowed to color or paint or dye anything on Shabbos, even if it's not a permanent color. So one example of that, for example, is putting on makeup. You're not allowed to on Shabbos. Another example would be, for example, if a person's hands have colored juices from fruit on them, let's say a person was eating cherries or blueberries or what have you, then he's not allowed to then touch his fingers to his clothes, because then he's going to be dyeing his clothes with the juice. Another example would be, for example, to take a cloth handkerchief and use it to wipe a bloody nose or a bleeding wound or something like that. Tissues or something else, because you're not doing sevea with them. You're going to throw them out anyhow. And similarly, for that matter, it also applies to food. You're not allowed to put, for example, karakrim, which is saffron, into food to give it a color. On the other hand, the Alter Rebbe disagrees with that point. The Alter Rebbe says, "Ein tzviya ba'ochlin." The concept of dying does not apply to foods. Therefore, according to the Alter Rebbe, you would be allowed to put something in there to give it a color. It's also negeya, for example, when it comes to making tea on Shabbos. I think there are poskim who are, besides the whole, you have all the issues with bishul, which is why you use a kli shlishi, etc. I think there are some poskim who don't like the idea because you're adding color to the water. But again, based on this, according to the Alter Rebbe, it would seem that at least that you don't have a problem with, because ain't tzviya both. And tzviya ba'ochlin, the concept of tzeveya does not apply to foods. The original tzeveya in the Mishkan was they were dyeing skins and things like that in order to use for the Mishkan. So therefore, the Alter Rebbe holds it doesn't apply to foods.